This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. We begin in Sacramento, where the final hours of the state legislative session were upended when a woman threw red liquid onto the crowded Senate floor.
I will.
No. That's for the dead babies.
We will not have any disruption in the chamber.
The California Highway Patrol says it was a woman from Santa Cruz County who threw a menstrual cup containing what appeared to be blood onto the Senate floor in the middle of a vote. They say she then walked out of the gallery where she was arrested and charged with assault, vandalism, and disrupting the Senate. Her Facebook page contains anti-vaccination messages like those promoted by groups protesting two bills signed by Governor Gavin Newsom last week, limiting medical exemptions from vaccines. Earlier this morning, I spoke with someone who's been a direct target of anti-vaccine protesters, Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez of San Diego. And I began by asking her what she makes of their protests becoming increasingly hostile since those bills became the law last week.
Well, obviously, I think, like most people, I think this is unacceptable. It's been building. We've known that there has been such violent rhetoric and just out of control, you know, memes and social media posts and even the shoving, of course, of our state senator that this it shouldn't surprise anyone it's reached to this level, but it's completely and totally unacceptable.
And what did you make of the security response?
Well, I'm glad that they quickly got everybody out of there. I just think that we probably could have seen this coming a lot sooner. We had days of protesters disrupting our hearings and having one of those seats in the assembly right under the gallery. It makes you a little nervous when you know people are above you shouting right at you and you're expected to just continue to do your work.
All right. Well, let's switch gears and talk about AB 5. This is the legislation that you champion. That would make it harder for companies like Uber, Lyft, and other gig economy companies to classify their workers as contractors. I want to begin by asking you, first of all, what's your reaction to what you accomplished with that legislation this session?
Well, I'm excited what so many people accomplished, the workers themselves, activists and organizers, because the cost of misclassification to the state of California runs about $7 billion a year, and that those costs are, in terms of payroll taxes, in terms of what we have to give to these workers because their employers aren't giving them enough, whether it's health care, subsidized, a number of things, child care, subsidized free lunches. When people can't make ends meet, it's the state that comes in and taxpayers that come in and fill the void. And so when you have these billion-dollar corporations who have been misclassifying their employees for so long, it's good to crack down on that. And it's not just the gig economy. We're talking about, hundreds of thousands of workers in janitorial and construction. There's misclassification across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. What's your posturing going to be towards a company like Uber? They have said that they're going to spend tens of millions of dollars. They're partnering essentially with their arch rival Lyft to get a ballot measure before voters next year. What is your approach going to be? Are you going to sit at the negotiating table with them and talk?
I'm always open to talk to anybody, but I'm not sure why we would exempt Uber and Lyft and these billion-dollar corporations when we don't exempt mom-and-pop, pizza parlors down the street. It's ludicrous to believe that these companies that are paying their top management tens of millions of dollars, their CEOs are becoming billionaires because of stock options, that they can't pay minimum wage, and yet we require that of every other company in California. So there can be compromise. We can talk about what's necessary to transition, but the thought that we're going to give in and just allow big corporations to write their own rules, I think that's dangerous. And I think we all need to be afraid of some kind of exemption for companies that hire somebody through an app. We keep reminding people if the only thing that is different with your company is you hire somebody through an app, we're all subject to losing our rights in the workplace.
So what is your reaction when you hear Uber's top lawyer say, nothing really changes for us with AB 5?
Well, first of all, I think all of us know that they're flaunting the law, and that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that, because they're rich and powerful, they think they don't have to abide by the same rules as everybody else. But that's also why we put language in there. I mean, Tony West said the same thing to me in a private meeting before the bill was passed. He said, our legal argument, not our real argument, but our legal argument is it doesn't apply to us, and we're going to fight that. And I said, okay. So we put in language to ensure that big cities, city attorneys could could file injunctive relief. They could go to court rather than, you know, some long lawsuit from a worker. The city attorneys could go to court and stop this kind of practice. And we hope that they do that starting January 1st.
All right. Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez from San Diego, thank you so much.
Thank you.
State lawmakers have also passed a bill that would require health clinics at California's public universities to provide the abortion bill on campus. As KQED's April Domboski reports, former Governor Jerry Brown vetoed a previous version of this bill, so all eyes are now on Governor Newsom.
When Governor Brown nixed the bill last year, he said it wasn't necessary. He pointed to a study that found abortion clinics were an average 6 miles away from California campuses. At the time, then-candidate for governor Gavin Newsom said he would have signed the bill. Supporters say there are other obstacles, like insurance hassles. These can cause delays that eat into the short window that the abortion pill can be taken. It's only effective up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. Newsom has 30 days to sign or veto the bill. If he signs, abortion opponents say they will look for a pro-life student or campus healthcare provider to file a conscientious objector lawsuit against the state. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
Let's head south now. Trump administration officials paid a visit to Los Angeles a few days back, saying they wanted to help tackle homelessness in the city. That could include possibly using federal facilities to house some of the homeless. The administration's attention has surprised many elected officials in the city and the state, with some wondering if it's all just a political stunt. KQED's Scott Schaefer caught up with L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti and asked him if he'd talked to other California mayors with major homeless issues about the Trump administration's attention.
Absolutely. I was in touch with London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco. The governor and I were texting back and forth, as well as talking to Daryl Steinberg, the mayor of Sacramento. We all have seen this playbook of kind of games, whether it's around sanctuary cities, whether it's around homelessness, whether it's around inclusion, gender equity stuff. We get bashed by Washington all the time for standing up for American values. But the threats usually don't come with much of anything. It's a lot of bark and no bite. Flipping that around, though, this is under President Trump's watch. He said homelessness started 2 years ago. Now, I said to the press, I reassured him it didn't start when he became president, nor should we just blame him. Nor did it start when any of us were the governor, the mayor. This has been decades in the making. So it's really on everybody to solve this. And, you know, I hope that it wasn't a stunt. I hope it was a legitimate effort to do something, but I'll believe it when I see it.
That was KQED's Scott Schaefer with L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti. Well, it's been 2 weeks since the devastating dive boat fire off the Santa Barbara coast that left 34 people dead. On board the boat, the Conception, were scientists, photographers, parents and their kids, and the trip's dive master, a marine biologist. From KAZU in the Monterey area, Erica Mahoney has this remembrance of Christy Finstad.
As the sun begins to rise, a couple of fishermen launch their boat at the Santa Cruz Harbor. It's home to commercial fishing boats, charter vessels for whale watching, and hundreds of sailboats. For many locals, life revolves around the ocean. That's true for the Finstad family. Nearly 50 years ago, they opened a dive company here, Worldwide Diving Adventures. It was eventually handed down to daughter Christy Finstad, who studied aquatic biology at UC Santa Barbara. Here's Finstad's brother, Brett Harmeling.
She was literally living her dream. Christy was meant to do exactly what she was doing while she was here.
Finstad was just a toddler the first time she swam off the Channel Islands, tucked beneath her dad's arms. She grew up to lead dive trips all over the world, including the Channel Islands National Park. Harmeling says his sister would often take her microscope to see. And underwater, she loved to point out the small and sometimes overlooked creatures of the ocean.
She had a heart that was full for adventure and exploration.
Everyone talks about her love for the natural world. In the early 2000s, Finstad worked for the California Coastal Commission. Chris Perry, with the Coastal Commission, was her supervisor. She says Finstad created a restoration program called Project Grow along the coast in Orange County. Perry says it's a wonderful legacy for Finstad.
She had such a strong life force and warmth and was able to just convey that in her work. And I feel like just being around her, I felt inspired.
Her brother, Brett Harmeling, says before the tragedy on Labor Day, Finstad had completed a long sailing and dive trip from Cabo San Lucas to Sydney, doing what she loved most. For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney in Santa Cruz.
And that is the California Report for this Monday, September 16th. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Lily Jamali. You can also follow my co-host, Saul Gonzalez. He's at KQED Saul. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great week, everyone.
Support for the California Report comes from Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life sciences communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden by saving energy through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.